Andrew is the Aussie bloke living in the US. Heather is the American gal living in Australia. Together, they travel the world sharing strategies on how to put your business on autopilot. Doing business online is no longer about having a website. To get more clients and take care of the ones you have, you will need a map. They've got it. So sit back and relax and welcome aboard. This flight is bound to autopilot your business.
Hello, everybody. Welcome back to podcast number 8. This is Andrew McCauley, and I'm looking forward to this podcast on LinkedIn today. And of course, I have the lovely Heather Porter with me. Hello, Heather.
Hello, hello, Andrew. Hi, guys. Welcome back. I'm very excited about this as well because I have personal reasons for this podcast. I really personally want to know about LinkedIn, and Andrew is an expert at this stuff. He is amazing. Like, basically, with himself and our clients, he's able to get profiles listed up to number one, anywhere from number one to three for certain search terms. So, for example, if you type in, say, event manager or life coach, he has this great little knack of getting people right up to the top. And I'm sure that's just the tip of the iceberg of what we're going to learn today. So glad you've joined us.
Yes, yes. I'm looking forward to it. I do like LinkedIn. And I got to say that so many people don't use it as effectively as they should. And I get a lot of work from LinkedIn, a lot of people coming through and finding out who I am and looking through my profile and that sort of thing, and then contacting me, whether it's a speaking opportunity or some sort of, whether it's, you know, testing new programs that somebody's created. So I get a lot of work and a lot of connections through LinkedIn that's really, really beneficial. And as you said, it's really not that hard to rank well for your industry or to be the expert in your industry. And when people do a search for you on your industry, you want to be making sure that you're the first person that comes up in that search result, because people like to deal with the people that are at the top of their game. So if you can do that, and it's really not that hard, and we'll talk about that sort of stuff in this podcast, if you can do that sort of thing, then you will start seeing some traffic coming through your site and hopefully the phone ringing for you as well.
Love it. I love it. I think LinkedIn is sort of like the sleeping giant out of the social media, like Facebook and Twitter and all those. Because time and time again, people say, isn't LinkedIn a CV or resume site, or isn't it just for professionals? Or, I have my name in there, but I don't use it. So I guess the first question is, who is LinkedIn for?
Yeah, that's a good question. You know, it's not going to suit every single person. But who it does suit is professional people that are wanting to use social networks, but for a business purpose, more so than just the, Facebook has a lot of trivial sort of stuff, what you did on the weekend and what you're doing, or sharing your thoughts or your favorite quotes and that sort of stuff, that sort of thing. LinkedIn seems to be a lot more business orientated. People say there's a lot of corporates on there, but there's also a lot of solopreneurs and a lot of small business owners who want to connect with some high-level people. And the great thing about LinkedIn is that it gives you a chance to connect with some of those people in some companies where you would have lots of what they call gatekeepers trying, you want to get in contact with, say, the marketing manager of a particular firm. LinkedIn lets you do that without having to go through the old gatekeepers when, you used to try and ring somebody and their personal assistant or their secretary would vet the call so you couldn't get through to them. So LinkedIn's one of those avenues where you can bypass those gatekeepers too.
Really cool. So would I be right to say that using LinkedIn for your business and or to further your career, that's the best way to use it? So think about it as a professional space.
Exactly, yeah. Totally spot on. That's exactly what it is. It's professional space. You won't find your kids on there. You won't find people just having all sorts of random opinions. You'll find more educated opinions and contact information there as well.
Okay, so say, you have your profile set up. I know most people just have literally gone in, set one up. They've chucked a few things about themselves up there, maybe a little bio, a couple of past work, and perhaps even a photo. And past that, they don't do much more. So tell me a little bit more about how you actually set up your profile for success. What can you do to it?
Well, one of the great things about LinkedIn, which I really like, and not many other social sites do this, is that it has a a profile checker where you can measure how much of the profile you've completed. And, you know, once you've got 100%, then LinkedIn thinks you've done a really good job. You don't have to have 100% to start. You can start with, you know, just a small amount of information like your name and where you work. But the checker that does the LinkedIn checker that they have there is a great start to keep an eye on, so that you know exactly what information you have yet to fill in and what information you already have. Now, having said that, some of the things that you want to consider when you're putting in the jobs in your past history is that utilize the keywords, and keywords will come up a lot in our podcast because they're so important about everything we do.
Actually, I'm just going to stop you right there. Yeah, let's talk quickly about what a keyword is, because I get that question all the time. How would you describe what it is, Andrew?
A keyword is one of the words that people would type into a search engine if they were going to look for you. So, for instance, if you were a brand strategist, or you were someone that was helping people develop their brand, what sort of keywords would you use? What sort of keywords would your clients use if they were going to look for you? So you may come up, you may have an idea of a brand strategist is what you really do, but is that what your clients type in? Because do they even know what a brand strategist is? So the keywords are the ones that the clients are going to type in looking for you, rather than the ones you think sound sexy and really impressive.
I love it. It does. So, like, first is brand strategist, you might look at something like how to improve my brand, or, you know, what is a brand, or what is a business brand. And you know what? A lot of clients will say, oh, but look, you can find me by using my name or my business name. But really, in reality, how many people are actually going to be your client if they already know your business name or your name? I mean, they already know you. They're already doing business with you. So you want to use these keywords like you're saying. Okay, cool.
That
explains it. So back to setting up your profile. So you're saying to choose keywords as part of your profile. Where do you put those?
Well, so when you're setting up your profile, it'll ask you, where do you currently work and what's your job role? Now, you may have a specific job role like brand strategist, for instance. Now, you can use that term because that may be important somewhere. But there's nothing stopping you on LinkedIn to also put in helping people find their brand, or whatever the keywords are that your clients look for, put that in your job title as well. So make it sound like a general sort of the words that make sense to the common person, put that in your job profile as well, and you'll be surprised at how you start getting ranked for that sort of thing, because that's what people are looking for.
Now, when you say job profile, is that the little about clip that's right up at the top of your profile, or is that actually deeper down into your past experiences and jobs?
Okay, so in your profile, there's a number of sections. There's a summary section at the top, and then there's a further section which delves deeper into that particular part of it. So, for instance, at the top, you'll see that there's a small section which gives you an overall view of if you land on somebody's profile, you'll see what they are. And then further down, if you scroll down the page, because there's a big grey box, and the big grey box is almost like the quick little summary, the quick synopsis of what you do. And then if you wanted to delve deeper into that person, you scroll down past their summary, which is more like a text document. And then you can see what sort of experience they've had, and you can look at that and see what connections they've got as far as that goes as well. You know, your LinkedIn profile can keep extending as much as you like it to extend.
Okay. So use the keywords kind of everywhere you can, in the summary and in the jobs and the boxes,
totally.
Everywhere you can, okay.
The more keywords you can have, the better. Yeah. Now, you can have a number of current jobs at the same time. You don't have to just have one current job. You can have a number of them. Mm-hmm. You can have past jobs, and if you can put your keywords in the past jobs, then that's even more beneficial as well. Excuse me. So what you can do is, if you had the only problem with a past job is you can't go back and update it. So you can't go back and fill or stuff your past jobs with certain keywords. So once you've clicked on past, or you've left that job, LinkedIn will say, okay, you've left it. You can't change it now. That's what you did. That's where you're at. No more changing on that one. So if you are working somewhere and you're about to leave, make sure that role has a lot of the keywords in it, and then you can click on the left leave button in LinkedIn and you'll have those keywords in your past job as well.
That alone is a really interesting little tip, because I actually never knew that. I think that's a really good tip to think about across the board. If you're going to make any big life changes, especially in your jobs or career or your business, to think about updating all your different accounts across the internet. Keep that as a rule of thumb.
Exactly.
Okay.
Now, I'm going to keep on the profile for a second. One of the other things that people don't change often is the websites. You've got a space down the bottom on your profile where you can link your website to your LinkedIn profile. And many people will see that it'll say website one or just website, I think it is. And they'll leave that there without having any call to action. Now, if you can be smart and you've got a call to action like come and visit or visit my free ebook or get a free ebook or a free report, type in the words when you're editing your profile, type in the words free report, and that will automatically link to your website. So, and it's almost like a call to action rather than just having the word website on your profile.
So you can actually change the word that says website. You can change that.
Yeah. It's in a drop down called custom, I think it is. And then you just change the word to whatever words you want it to be, and then you load it up, and it'll link to your website. So it's a pretty cool little trick to do.
Wow, you know what, that's a very good point. I think I know exactly what you're talking about, because most people use that and they'll just type in my blog or my website, am I right? But that's
yes,
what you would actually...
I'm looking at somebody's profile right now.
Yep.
And it says websites, it says company website,
yep.
It says blog, and it says Facebook. And so they've got those ones connected, like company website takes them to their company website.
Sure.
However, they can change the words company website, and they may have a call to action like get my free download.
Brilliant.
So it's not a it's a pretty simple trick, a simple little fix, just not used effectively by many people.
Okay, I love that tip. Good. More please, Andrew.
Yeah.
What else? So we're on the as we're going through the profile, I also want to talk in terms of sort of chunks, because I know at the top you keep referring to the profile, but then there's a lot of other things that people can stack on. So we're still up in the profile, right? The top area that has your who you are.
Yes.
Is that where we are?
Yes. So we're on the, there's a home tab. The next one across is your profile. That's where we're talking about right now.
Okay.
The profile tab is where there's a range of different stuff you can have. This is where you start really souping up your profile so that people can start finding you in the search results. So now the search results, just let me touch on that, because there's a couple of interesting things with the LinkedIn search results. On the top right hand side of the LinkedIn website, there's a search bar.
Mm-hmm.
And it just operates like any other search bar. You click into the search bar, you type whatever it is that you want. But just on the left of that, there's a little drop down. And it sort of says, where do you want to search? And there's a number of choices. You can search for people. So if I was to put in Heather Porter, or if I was to put in actually, let's say, Heather, you call yourself an online architect,
mm-hmm.
right? And I was to type in online architect, and the little people sign was there, then I would find everybody that has the term online architect inside their profile. Now, if that's a term that you want to be found for, then that's great, because we're looking, people are finding that particular term in the search bar. Now, if I did the drop down where it says people, there's a whole range of other things that I could look at. One, the next one is updates. There's jobs. There's companies. There's answers, inbox, and groups. Now, what would change? If I was to go and click on type in online architect, and then do the little drop down box that said updates, what I would do is I wouldn't be finding you or your profile. I'd be finding all of the updates where somebody mentioned the online architect. Does that make sense?
Wow, it does. So say, you know how when you search for terms and you put the little brackets or little quotes on either end?
Yes.
Uh-huh. Does it work the same in LinkedIn?
Yes, it does. So
for exact searches?
Yes, exactly. So if you're looking for a job, if you were looking for a job, Heather, as an online architect, you could type in online architect and make sure that you've got the jobs drop down checked, and you would find all the jobs that are available for online architects.
Okay. Okay, okay. And as we're having this conversation, you know what I'm loving? I have to practice what I preach here, because that's just a cute little word I came up with when I was meeting with some clients. So that's how they described me. But let's face it, people don't know what that is, and they're not going to search on it. So as soon as this podcast is done, I'm going to be changing that.
But it's a good example of what we were talking about before with brand strategists. Exactly. Online architect is fun, it's cool, it's chic.
Yeah.
But if nobody's looking for it, then there's no real reason to have it as part of your search strategy.
Exactly, exactly. Okay, good. So I love this whole thing of using the search. So tell me a little bit more about the search bar without going too far off the topic of the profile still. But when you're searching in there, what are some tips or techniques that you can use to, I guess, find people that you might want to do business with or potential clients? So are you...
Well,
go ahead.
You can really narrow it down. If you want to use the advanced search, you can really narrow it down to industries.
Okay.
You can check what sort of industries you're looking for. So if let's go back and let's say you're looking for somebody in social media, for instance.
Yep.
And you only wanted somebody in social media who was in the airline or the aviation industry. Now that's a pretty narrow field, but you may be looking for someone like that. So you can go and check the industry of whichever industry you're looking for that person in. So it really narrows it down and gives you some great narrow targeted search results too.
Okay.
You can go and search groups. We'll talk about groups in a few minutes. And you can also search your relationship with those people. So if you wanted to have, and this is something that we should touch on before I get too much deeper into it, there's connections in LinkedIn which are the first degree connections, are people that you know personally and you've connected with each other and you've agreed to accept each other's connection. A second degree connection is somebody that maybe, let's say for instance, Heather, you've got a friend, who lives near you. I don't know that friend, but I know you and we're both connected via you. So you're a second degree connection.
Okay, yep.
And then you've got a third degree connection is maybe that friend we're just talking about has another friend who's in marketing, for instance. And although I don't know that person, they are 3 degrees removed from me, so they're a third degree connection.
Mm-hmm.
So, going back to the search, you can go and search for people that are first degree connections, second degree connections, and so on like that as well.
And how do you do that? Because I'm actually looking at LinkedIn as well while we're speaking. And
okay, cool.
Where is the connection option?
On the right-hand side, you'll see the advanced tab.
Yep.
In the search, click on the advanced, and you'll see that those options pop up there.
Got it. Okay, okay. Now, are we going to talk a little bit more about connections in later down in the podcast? Or
If we got time, we can talk about connections now if you want to talk about connections, or we can bring it, come around again and wrap it up later if you like.
I'm sure it'll come up in the future too, but I guess I'll just ask my quick question right now. Is it true that with connections, if you want to try and connect with somebody that's, removed from you, not your first connection, you have to be introduced to them? Is that true?
Yeah, so there's a safety mechanism for LinkedIn where you can't just go and grow your base ridiculously quickly without really knowing or making a connection.
Mm-hmm.
Remember, social media is all about building relationships with everybody. It doesn't matter whether it's LinkedIn, Facebook, Twitter, or Google Plus or any of those. There is a requirement to build a relationship, and that's why LinkedIn is so cool, because it makes you go out and introduce yourself before anyone will accept you if you don't know them personally.
Love it. And that's such a good point, because that makes it right there. That's the level of seriousness and the level of, I guess, integrity that you have to use this tool is amazing. You really need to be yourself and have great intentions when you want to connect with people, not just to spam them.
Totally, totally. Yes.
Love it. Okay, good. So, anything else on that quick question of connections before?
I think that's the main one. Your first level connections are great. If you've got some people that you really want to connect with, but you don't know who they are, look for the people that are connected to them that you know.
Okay.
And that way you can send the email to a person you know and say, hey, I know you're connected to Mr. Smith on LinkedIn. I'd like an introduction. Would you mind just giving me an introduction, because I'd really like to meet that person? And start using your list of people that you've got on LinkedIn to make your introductions to the people that are going to really ramp up your business.
Very, very cool. And while we're on this topic of search as well, because now I'm getting very excited, I'm seeing this other thing in there that says, under the search bar where you can do the drop-down arrow, and it says search answers.
Yes.
Is this searching what people are answering, like their answers to questions, or what exactly is that?
You're about to open up a Pandora's box. I've got a whole section I want to talk in answers. So if we want to move to answers, then we can do that.
No, we'll take a step back. I want to let's close the profile section because I'm thinking suddenly when I'm seeing that I'm getting very excited on the possibility of what that could become. So we'll wait and we'll cover that next. So taking a step back into profile, just want to make sure we finish this up here. Okay. What else in the profile when you're setting up? We've talked about keywords and is there anything about the photo that you should consider about the photograph?
Like any social media. Any social media account or any platform, you really want to make sure that you're representing who you are. You're a person. People want to do business with who you are, not a logo or anything like that. So make sure your photo is clear, it's relevant, it's up to date, and it gives an indication of who you are, because people, when they're talking to you, whether it's just on email or messages and that sort of stuff, they want to have a picture of who you are when they're typing that message to you. So make sure that your picture represents exactly who you are. Don't fill it up with a logo, because you're not a logo, you're a person. Okay. If you need to put your logo in there somewhere, you can maybe put it on the bottom corner of the photo if you want that brand recognition. But remember, we're building relationships here with people, not inanimate objects or brand logos.
Got it. Okay.
Now, one more before we wrap up the profile, there is a whole range of other cool apps that you can put on your profile, and not a massive amount like Facebook or Twitter, but there's a small amount of apps that you can put on which really let you do some really cool things with your profile, and you can find those down the bottom of your page. But one thing that you can do, and I recommend you do is connect, there's room for status updates, a bit like a Twitter handle. You can put in relevant information to let your people know what you're doing currently. Just like a Twitter or a Facebook update, let the people know what's going on. If you've got a great resource for them, put the link in and let them see what it is. If you've got some great tips, put your tips into your updates so that people can see what's going on. And those updates will start flowing through other people's news feeds as well. News feeds on their LinkedIn profile.
Got it. And also, because I'm looking at my profile right now, I'm noticing that one of my last tweets has come through. But I've also noticed that'll stay in there for a while, and then it'll just go blank again. Is there some sort of rule, like how long each of your status updates stays in that little box?
That's a good question. I don't know if there is an actual time. I was under the impression there was no time. It just stays there until you update it again. So I'm not sure. I think the one you're talking about there looks like it's been there for a day or so.
Exactly. I think it's only a couple of days or a few days, but then the box will just go blank again, and then kind of inviting you or enticing you to leave another message.
Okay, interesting. Yeah. No, I don't know. I don't know of any. I haven't come across that, so I'm not sure what's going on there.
So I suppose that brings me to the next point then. If I'm talking about a tweet being inside that status update, how did that happen? So this is where you're talking about apps, correct? Where you're actually adding in your other social media accounts to pull in data from them?
You can do that. You can link your Twitter account directly here, so everything you post on Twitter can go directly to your LinkedIn. Mm-hmm. There's other apps like Hootsuite. I think we've spoken about Hootsuite on one of our other podcasts.
Yes.
Hootsuite can link in LinkedIn, link in LinkedIn,
yeah.
And you can send information directly from your Hootsuite account straight into your LinkedIn account. Now, one thing that you want to be careful of, and talking about Hootsuite and linking all this stuff, is that, remember, LinkedIn's a little bit different. It's got a different clientele on there. So your funny status update on Twitter or your current news feed for Facebook may not be relevant to what's happening on your LinkedIn account. So just be mindful that the people that see your funny Facebook one will also, the LinkedIn people will also see that as well. So if it's not relevant, then be careful you're not posting the wrong message out to your LinkedIn followers as well.
Another jewel of a point as well. So only hook your accounts in that make sense for your professional image.
Exactly, yes.
Got it.
Yes.
Good point. What else about applications? Do we have that on the agenda to cover later, or can we talk a little bit more about it?
I didn't have apps on there, but we can cover that.
Not to go too deep, I suppose, but I guess the main question is, because I know that apps is a constant sort of thing of confusion across social media. So without showing a whole how to do the app episode, how would you or where do you go to actually add your social accounts into your LinkedIn profile? Where does that occur?
Okay, so when you go and edit your profile, I'm going to open up my profile. I'm just scared that I've got an app on mine which is a video that starts up automatically.
So we might hear it, everybody. But that's okay.
I'm gonna hit stop before. Oh, I got it just in time.
Nice.
There we go. So I use an app called SlideShare. SlideShare is a website you can put different slides on. So if you've got a presentation you've ever done as a professional presentation, you may want to upload that presentation into your profile so that other people can see your presentation. You can also sneakily add YouTube videos into SlideShare so that if you've got a video that you'd like, a welcome video or something like that, currently on my LinkedIn I have a testimonial that starts up automatically, and it's quite funny because I've had many comments about this. When people come and look at my profile, all of a sudden this voice comes out the top and starts talking about me. And they're like, wow, what's going on there? So go and do a search for social media. You'll find me ranked up there. Go and check out my profile and you'll see this booming voice of Ben Harvey come across the top as a testimonial. So that's one app that I currently like to use, and that's called the SlideShare presentation. So yeah.
So how do you add them?
Adding them is pretty simple. You can just go to the apps section. If you do a search for apps up the top, and I'm just going to just do this as we speak, just so I'm making sure I'm giving you the right information here. The apps. Now you know what? Let's come back. While we're talking, I'm going to find this.
I was going to jump in and say, for me, I'm on my profile right now. I scrolled all the way down to the bottom, and there's a section that actually says applications. Tell me if it's on yours as well, but it says applications down towards the bottom of my profile page, and it says add an application. There's a little plus sign with a blue thing that says add an application, all the way almost towards the bottom. Do you see that on yours?
I've got a number of things here. That would if you click on that, you'll find that's where it is.
Yeah.
My profile's pretty expanded, so I've got a lot of scrolling to do to get to the bottom.
Gotcha.
But that's where it is. Can you see, does it pop up for you?
Yeah, and then it opens up into an applications page, and it has all sorts of crazy things like polls and GitHub and all sorts
yes.
of things.
No, you'll find there's probably about 20 or 30 apps in there. One of the other apps that I like to use is a WordPress app that pulls in my WordPress blog. So if I've got a blog that's coming in, it automatically grabs the content that I write. As soon as I publish my WordPress blog, it sucks it into my LinkedIn account so that people can read my blog from inside my LinkedIn profile, which is a pretty cool way to get your message out there as well.
Yeah, and you know what I know about apps on LinkedIn is that they're really, really easy to use. I mean, once you get into this application page that I'm in now, there's FAQs, there's feedback, there's browsing, there's a whole, so you can browse through different types of applications as well that you want to add. I think a good way of thinking about an application is it's like a little mini tool that you can add onto your profile to let people know more about you. So as Andrew's saying, you can suck through your tweets with an application for Twitter. You can suck through your blog posts with a WordPress application. You can put videos with video applications or the SlideShare thing that he was talking about. So think about all of your content that you have right now on the internet and how you can use it on your LinkedIn page. And then you would go and get applications to share that. Am I right?
Totally. And one other thing is there's apps for certain industries as well. I think you'll find that there's apps for real estate agents. There's apps for travel. For if you've got a whole bunch of travel and people, I know people hook up together where they travel together, or they'd like to let people know where they're traveling, and they actually, you know, let's say they're all landing in Sydney for a meeting, they can find out who's landing in Sydney at the same time, and they can hook up and meet together, which is quite cool as well.
Very, very cool. And before we move on from that, I did find another place where you can find it. So you can scroll down on your profile page when you're logged in as yourself, and you see applications, add more applications, or right in the top under the more in the menu where it says, you know, home profile, contacts, groups, etc., companies, news, more. If you
get more applications,
you got it. Yeah, so you can hover over more, and it's just down there. Get more applications.
That's right. So you have a look through those. Have a look through those apps. Some of them are great. Others you probably won't have a need for. Yeah. But they are definitely worth putting in and adding and pimping up your profile.
Love it. All right, so let's keep moving on because I'm still very excited to get to this answers section that you're going to cover.
Okay.
What about connections? I just want to make sure we've covered all the little tips and tools and strategies that you have about adding connections. So anything else you want to add on that?
Connections, one of the good ways of adding it, one of the things to make sure you do when you're adding a connection is when you want to find somebody, you want to add them as a connection. You can leave it as default, where it'll just say, "Oh, welcome. Please add me to your network." One of the things I strongly recommend is actually putting a little message in there, telling them how you know them or how you found that person. Just a simple little message. I'll always check my connections. Like anyone that's asking to add me as a connection, I'll always just check to make sure. If they've written something, I've taken the time, even 10 seconds, just to say, hey, we're in the same group together, or I know that we're both into this sort of thing, then I'll take the time to write back and build a relationship. It's the people that just don't write anything and just expect to be connected like a Facebook or a Twitter, which I really don't have a lot of time for. So if you're going to go and do that, just make it human. Connect with them on a different level than everybody else.
Yeah, it's like you're handing somebody your business card. What would you say to them at a party or networking event? Exactly.
Totally.
Common courtesy.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay. So anything else about connections as far as...
No, I think that's the main thing that I want to cover without getting too much deeper into connections, because I know we've got some other cool stuff to touch on in a minute.
Okay.
So I think connections are just be human, be nice, and tell people who you are when you're connecting with them.
Cool. Like it. All right. What else? Let's see. Ah, yes. Here's another thing that I always see on profiles, and I always question how valuable it is. I mean, I guess it's like having testimonials, essentially, for you, but there's the recommendation section.
Yes. Recommendations are very good. Recommendations are almost like a testimonial for you, and it actually makes up part of your percentage of completing your LinkedIn profile. Now, a recommendation is a great way to get the word out from other people about who you are and what you are. And one of the cool things about LinkedIn is that you can go and ask for recommendations as well. And so you can go and connect with people and say, hey, I'd like a recommendation about my work. Now, that's pretty brazen, I think, particularly if you don't know the person too well. But what I like to do, I actually like to go and write recommendations for people. And you'll find that they'll come back and write one for you without you even asking. Not every single person, but in probably 3 out of 10 will come back and write a recommendation for you because they feel like they should because you've already written one for them. Mm. It doesn't cost you anything to write one. It would cost you a couple of minutes of your time. But if you truly know that person and you work with them or you have worked with them and you want to just give them some kudos, then go and write them. It doesn't have to be very long. It can be a couple of sentences. That's all. It still counts as a recommendation. Because what happens is when people are looking at your profile, they'll see if you've got a lot of recommendations, people are going to start thinking, wow, if everybody's recommending this person, they must be pretty important.
Yeah, it's that whole social proof thing, isn't it?
Totally. Yeah, totally. Recommendations are quite good.
I do like the idea that you just said where just go find people that you've worked with and leave them a recommendation because I get bombarded quite often actually with people saying, hey, can you recommend me? I'm thinking, why, for what, you know, I'm kind of confused here. So it's a bit aggressive at times, especially if you rarely, you don't really know the person and you've not really done business with them either. So, okay. Leaving recommendations, how do you do that then if you want to go out and start to do this strategy? Where do you do that on people's profiles.
You look at someone's profile, mm-hmm. and it'll just say there, leave a recommendation or recommend this person.
Okay.
If I look at your profile right now on the right hand side, just where your photo is on the right hand side of that, there's a couple of options for me. The one's to send you a message, one is to recommend you, and the other one is to save your profile. Okay. So it's just there. Recommend Heather. I can recommend you to whoever. I'll just recommend you, and you put it on your profile. Now the good thing about it is, somebody recommends you, and you don't like what they say, you don't actually have to make it public. You get the last say of that too. So you get to say whether you want to publish that recommendation or not.
Got it. Okay, sounds good. Yeah. Wonderful. Any other little tips or jewels to add for recommendations?
No, just keep them honest. Keep them positive. Keep them honest. Mm-hmm. And if you do take the approach of going to recommend people without asking them, then don't expect them to recommend you back.
Sure.
But if they do, just take it as a bonus and say, "Wow, that's great."
Great. Okay. Good. Love it, love it, love it. All these little tips and tools of the trade. We love it.
Yes.
All right, moving on. Let's go into, what do you think? Should we go into groups?
Groups. Okay, let's go into groups.
Yeah, tell me. Groups. What is a group, first of all?
Groups are groups. They're like a bunch of like-minded people that all have the same sort of interests as you. Now, there are literally thousands and thousands and thousands of groups on LinkedIn. And there's groups from all sorts, all sizes, from 3 people to 300,000, 3 million people. It's ridiculous. Mm. Now, this is a great way to start becoming the authority in your industry. Now, if you were, it doesn't matter what sort of industry you're in, there'll be a group for that already. If there's not, you can create one. But let's just talk about groups at the beginning first. When you go to groups, you can go and search for a whole range of groups. There's a groups directory. And a group directory will show you all of the different categories of groups that are out there. Mm-hmm. Currently I'm looking at 1.27 million results for different groups. But if you gave me, let's say, come up with something pretty non-mainstream for a group, and I'll see if I can find one for you.
Well, how about, let's try... Day Spa, since my sister runs Day Spa.
Okay, Day Spa. I don't think there'll be any groups on Day Spa.
We'll see.
We'll see.
And then
I have 90 results for Day Spa groups.
Really? That's amazing.
Yeah, so let me tell you about these Day Spa groups. The great thing about this little directory, you can quickly go through and see which group's going to be relevant for you. So, for instance, the first one says... this group is it's called the Day Spa Association. Mm-hmm. It has 1,583 members. It has 65 discussions this month, which is pretty active for a group. And it tells you who in your network is also in this group, which is pretty cool. Huh. The next one down has 1,700 members. The next one down has 1,500 members. Then there's 900, 966. One down here has 5,400 members. So, it's very active. It's a very cool group to be hanging out with, these Day Spas, because they seem to be very active on LinkedIn, which is great. Now, why would you want to join a group on LinkedIn? Well, here's the thing. You can find out a whole bunch of different resources. You can find out different people that are in your industry. You can connect with people. I know a lot of people have done joint ventures with people that are in their same industry. They may work on the other side of the world, the other side of the country. But yet they might have similar things that they could work together to make their businesses grow. There's a number of groups that are open, what they call open groups, which are free for you to join. Mm-hmm. You don't need to have any special considerations to join. And then there's closed groups, which will make sure the administrator checks who you are to see if you're a relevant fit for that group.
Okay.
I know I tried to join a group once. For speakers in Australia, and because I was living in the US, they wouldn't let me join the group because I wasn't living in Australia at the time.
Huh, wow. Yeah, and I've had that as well, actually. A lot of groups, and even though they say they're closed, they'll probably just approve you very quickly, and it generally takes, 24 hours at the absolute most, I've found, to get approved into different groups.
Yes. So here's a couple of tips for joining groups.
Yeah.
Look for a group. Now, if you're an expert in the spa industry, and you went and joined a group with 5,000 members, that's a lot of work you have to do to get in front of a lot of people.
Mm-hmm.
So by saying that, when you're in a group, they'll have things like discussion forums where you can answer questions or pose questions so that people can answer your questions for you. And if your group is really large, then your name is not going to be as prominent as it would be if you're in a smaller group constantly answering questions.
Ah, okay.
Right. So if you've got if you've got a small group, a smaller group, and make sure the group is still active, but if you've got a smaller group, then it's easier for you to post, you know, an answer or a question to a discussion every day or so. So people start to get to know who you are.
So when you say smaller group, what sort of size are we talking?
I would go anything from, say, 50 to 1,000 people.
Oh, and that's a smaller group.
That's a small group. Remember, not all the people will be active in those groups.
Yep, okay.
But sometimes a smaller group, if it's not very active, will be stale, so sure. You may not get much out of it anyway.
So you're looking for, initially to start, you're looking for sort of 50 to 1,000 people, you're looking for an active group, so you're looking for, and when you say they're active, how are you telling that they're active? You're looking for discussions, you said?
Yeah, and when you do a search on the groups directory, it actually tells you, it'll say this group is very active, it's got 65 discussions this month. But you don't have to rely on this to tell you. You can just look in and see, when was the last time someone posted a discussion? When was the last time somebody answered any questions on the group wall? So you can quickly find out whether people are actually involved with it or not.
Okay, that makes sense. So the other thing too is oftentimes, and probably some listeners to this exact episode will get very excited by the concept of groups and think, oh my gosh, I'm going to go create my own group right now. Uh-huh. Now, I would advise against that. I always say, you know, the best way to learn is by getting involved, being mentored or modeling or jumping into something that's already working and then seeing if you want to do it yourself. Would that be a good thing to say here?
Totally, totally. Now, there are benefits to starting your own group, but as you said, get in and see how some good groups are really responding and reacting and working, because it's those groups where you'll learn the most about creating your own group and what to do and what not to do as well.
Okay.
So when the good things about creating your own group is that you can actually message all of your members whenever you like.
Mm-hmm.
So, once a week you can email all your members. So maybe an email about a webinar you've got coming up or a teleseminar or just a piece of information. But you can email those people once a week, which is a great way to go. So the owner of some of these day spa groups who have, you know, 3,000 or 4,000 members can email their people, their list, directly every week.
That is a big benefit.
Totally, totally.
Okay.
The other thing about owning the group is that you have control over who comes in and who gets kicked out and that sort of thing. So you can moderate it. But just remember, it does come with a little bit of work.
Mm-hmm.
You do need to manage the group a little bit. And if you don't have the energy or the time to manage a group, then it'll only fall apart and you'll suddenly start getting a whole bunch of either non-active participants or spamming sort of people, which you don't want in a group.
And that's the other thing I was going to say is, if to start a group is one thing, but to actually get people into it and engaged, it is. It's quite a bit of work. It's like moderating a forum or anything really online, where the concept may seem good, but you have to think of the whole the plan. What are you going to do with it? How are you going to market it? How are you going to get people in it as well?
Yeah, almost treat it like a business plan.
Yeah.
How are you going to spend time doing it? It's all great to start a group and say, yeah, I started a group, but if you don't have the time to do it after next week, then you know, you're only going to be putting egg on your face because people are going to go, well, that person wasn't very good.
That's a good point, actually. And in the space of LinkedIn, where you're positioning yourself as an expert or your business as the place to go, you want your stuff to be rocking. You want people there and engaged and a place for you to sort of, you know, stand up and talk about your expertise. So if no one's listening, then probably not a good idea to create one in the first place.
Exactly.
So what else about groups that we can keep in mind? I know that there's other RSS feeds in groups as well.
Yeah, so one of the cool things about if you own the group is you can go and put your own RSS, which is a feed. It can be a feed from anything. It can be a feed from your own blog site. You can put your RSS feed inside a group so that, let's say I write an article on my blog, that article will automatically get posted to the group so everyone can see it. So wow. it's a pretty cool little spin-off. Now, you don't have to do it to your own blog. Let's say, for instance, you've got a group about finances, and you may want to grab the blog feed of CNN, the CNN Money Forum on CNN. So you grab the feed for that, and you can just put that feed inside your group, so that's a constant source of information coming into your group, so people can talk about and discuss it in your group.
And Freddie,
so there are ways to automate some of that stuff.
Very cool. And for anyone who doesn't know what an RSS feed is, it's basically whenever something's updated, it automatically is pulled through and posted. So if it's like CNN blog, for instance, or website, any new article that's up on there will automatically come through to your LinkedIn group and be posted in the group there.
Yes.
So, handy little tools. What else about groups?
One other thing about groups is that a lot of them will have spaces for promotion.
Okay.
And this is where you can sell your stuff. If you're a member of a large group and you've got a webinar coming up, or you've got a sale coming on, or just you want to tell people about something that's going on in your business, there are walls where you can promote things where it's not frowned upon, because the groups know that people want to talk about what they do. The discussion walls are for discussions, not posting your salesy stuff. But the promotions tab is exactly that. It's there for you to promote your stuff. And if people want to go there, then they can go there and choose to know that there's going to be stuff being sold to, so okay. They can look at that. They can look at there. So it's a great little wall for keeping the control on the spam.
Okay, and then how do you, so if I'm joining groups, how do I find out if they have this promotional area? Is it easy to find when you're in a group?
As soon as you type in the group, there's a number of tabs across the top.
Okay.
And if they've enabled the promotions tab, you'll see it just sticking up the top there on promotions. There's also jobs and that sort of stuff too. If you're looking for jobs, or you want to post a job, you're looking for a job, or you need a job, or you need someone to work for you, you can put that in the jobs tab as well at the top.
Okay, great. So it's almost like its own little community hub where it has its classified ads and it has, you know, job boards and everything. So
exactly. And you can do, you'll have rules for groups. There'll be certain rules that the administrators will make so that you can know exactly what you can and can't do in the group.
Mm-hmm.
And that's a great way just to manage that group. But there's a lot of tools there to help you manage the group. I set up a group not long ago, a couple of days ago, actually. And it took me about 30 minutes to 45 minutes just to go through and make sure it was set up correctly from the first place, including templates that I want to send out to people as soon as they join my group.
Mm-hmm.
There's a welcome letter that says, welcome to the group, and this is what you do. There's rules and that you want to put up there as well. So it takes a little bit of setup, but once the setup's done, then it's just now about maintaining and welcoming people to the group as they pop in.
Now, is your group an open group or is it a closed group?
This group I set up recently was an open group. It was an open group for an event that's coming up in June. So we set that up just so we could get traction in there. We haven't promoted it yet. We just wanted to make sure it was up and running. So as soon as we promote it, then I'll be able to tell people about it.
So you can even do groups for events then. You don't have to, they can actually be for a moment in time.
Totally. You can do groups for conferences.
Okay.
There's a lot of groups out there for conferences. If you've got a conference or a group conference coming up,
mm-hmm.
you can have everyone connected who's ever been to that conference or who's going to that conference. A great way to connect before and after the event.
Oh, that is wonderful, because we all know when you go to a conference, you always think, oh, I'm going to do all this network, you meet people, but you run out of time and it just gets crazy. So what a great way to stay in touch and actually expand the network.
Yeah, it is, really is.
Okay, cool. Really is. Well, we're giving you guys so many ideas of how to create your own group. But again, just before you dive into that, please just pick a few groups that you can hang out in first and then look at doing that later. But and back on that note of joining in groups, what is the best way to use a group? So I've joined a group, now what?
Okay, so I would when you join a group, just watch for a few days of how the discussions go back and forward. Look at the questions that are being asked and look at the answers. You can go and check out the answers. You can go and add answers anytime you're ready. So as soon as you are ready to start participating in that group, then jump in. Go and add some questions. Oh, sorry, go and add some answers to the questions that are being posed. Go and add your thoughts. Go and add some information. Just remember, like anything else, don't go and spam it. You wouldn't go to a party and jump into the party and before you even introduce yourself, start telling people what you think. So make sure that people know who you are. Just do a quick introduction. But then go and answer, go and get active in the discussions. And you'll start seeing people will go and check you out because, oh, there's a new person adding some great information to the discussion. Let me go and see what they're like, or let me go and find out a little bit more about them.
And so when you say introduce yourself, what do you mean? When you join the group, you say, hi, I'm so-and-so, and this is what I do, or do you actually do that as part of your answer?
Well, you can do that as part of your answer at the start, but after a little while, you don't have to do that every time. I mean, I would do it for the first time, maybe, just so that people know that, hey, I'm just joining the group, I'm just new, and they won't go too hard on you. you'll find most people are very, very, very good. They're very willing to just have that's what they want. They want people to join and have a discussion about what it is that they know.
Very nice. Okay. Another thing on groups before we move on to my exciting area of answers that I want to know about. But back to groups. How do I know if people are responding to me, or, you know, is there settings and emails or privacy, or how do you get these updates from the group?
Totally. So you can, when you join a group for the first time, it'll say, how would you like to know about updates? How would you like to know about answers to your questions? And you can email them as they happen. LinkedIn will email you as it happens, or I think they even let you say, oh, once a day, just give me a summary of all of the answers to my questions, or give me a summary of the discussions that are out there. And this is how I operate, actually. I don't jump into LinkedIn every single day, but I do get an email every day about the questions that are going on, and I'm a member of a number of groups. So, you know, I join groups, and when I see questions come through on the email, I quickly have a look and say, well, there's something I can answer. I want to jump in. So I click on the link. Jump into the group, answer my question, and I jump back out again.
You brought a really good point, actually, as far as how to use social media to not overwhelm yourself. If you could just set aside a time chunk every single day, some people have even gone as far as turning off their Facebook notifications, because what they do is it brings back control of their time. So you can actually go, okay, great, today from 5 to 5:30, or every day from 5 to 5:30 in the evening, I'm going to go into all my social media accounts and I'm going to engage and do some marketing. So you look at your LinkedIn daily digest of your group action, and then you go into your Facebook accounts and your pages, and then you engage in those as well. Then you're in control of your social media space, and it's not controlling you with, you know, up to hundreds of emails a day, even if you're
awesome
really active.
Awesome point. I turn off all my Facebook stuff is all turned off, except I know this is not even Facebook, but I turn it off except tagging in photos. I want to make sure that I'm not getting tagged in photos that I'm not in. But apart from that, that's the only thing I get turned on. That's turned on for me.
Of course, Andrew.
turned on by photo tagging, and then and LinkedIn is the groups. Any discussions that I'm in as a member of a group, I get the summary, so I can go and actively jump in if I need to.
Great. And then you're using social media at this point as a strategy to grow your business and your expertise online. And you actually, you're not using it for fluff. It now becomes part of your business tools to grow your business
online. Yeah, definitely. And you know, as you said, it doesn't have to take all day. You can. Yeah. I do it on 15 to 20 minutes max a day on LinkedIn. You know, in fact, I'd probably do it less than that. I have it all set up so I know exactly what I need to do. I go in, I'll answer questions, I'll partake, I'll connect with people, and then I'll get out. I don't waste a lot of time in there because I know that, like anything, it can be a time suck, which is really detrimental.
And we've already covered Facebook, and you know, now we're covering LinkedIn, and we'll cover Twitter and Pinterest and a few of the others. And then how about we just have a full episode after we cover all these items that actually talks about how you can use them as a strategy and how do you set up all the emails and everything. So,
totally, yeah.
Yeah,
for sure.
It's time saving.
For sure.
Shall we come to the jewel of this episode, the answer jewel?
I don't know if we've got enough time. We might have to stop it here.
Should we just stop it here, guys? Nah, let's give it to him.
All right, we'll give it to him.
Okay, what are the answers? What do they do?
What are the answers? All right, so there's a section in LinkedIn which is extremely valuable, I think, for a lot of people, particularly if you're a smaller business operator who wants to be known for being good at what they do in their industry. So there's a thing called Answers, and you can find Answers by looking at the up the top. You'll see the news. Next to the news, there's more. The first drop down will be the thing called Answers. And the Answers is a great place not only to ask questions about what it is that you need to find out, but it's an even better place for you to answer questions of other people. Now, why would you want to do that? Because here's the thing, you actually get voted as the best answerer for a particular question. So if someone types a question, and there'll be a whole range of different answers that come back. And if the question asker, the person who asked the question, likes your answer the best, they'll vote you as the best answer for that particular question. Hmm. Now, this can be a social proof strategy where people start to find out, and the more questions you answer, by the way, sort of gives you a bit more status about, wow, this person obviously knows a lot about this industry because they're answering a lot of questions, which is pretty cool.
Okay.
So, when you go to the answers, you'll find the very first answer home is, it gives you a range of new questions from your network. So you'll have what sort of questions are coming up through your network. So you can look at some of those and think, some of them are relevant, some of them will not be relevant to you. And then you can look at who are the experts in your profile this week. And you'll see how many questions they've answered throughout the week. Now, some people will answer 500 or more answers this week. I don't know if they just sit there on LinkedIn and completely answer questions over and over again. But they do answer a lot of questions. But you don't have to answer anything like that. You just need to just get in there and find out and get people to get people to see that you are an expert in your area by answering different questions.
So quick question on this section as well. I'm in there right now. So do you have to ask questions from in this section as well? So you go to, because I see it right up at the top, it says ask a question. So is this where you actually ask the questions as well?
Yeah, so you can ask a question there. You'll see the question up the top. You'll see what sort of category do you want to put that in. So you'll add the detail. And then what sort of category do you want to put that in? So you look through all of the categories that are there.
Okay.
And then you just ask the question and it'll get posted out. And then your answer questions on the very end is you'll see open questions that are open, because sometimes they'll be open until the person who asked the question mm-hmm. has had enough and they'll say, I want to close that down.
Mm-hmm.
You can look at a whole range of different things, or you can do a search on different answers. So by looking at the advanced search, you can go and put your keywords once again in there.
Okay.
So you might go type in social media, for instance, and you're looking for questions and answers. You click on the search button, and you'll see a whole range of questions coming up about social media. Now, if that's relevant to you, all you need to do is click on the headline of that question, and you go through and you just answer it. You click on the yellow button that says answer, and it'll give you all of the answers. So, for instance, I've looked at this particular question here that says, how important do you think a professional image is to what it is that you do?
Yep.
Now, we spoke about that earlier tonight, or today. we can see all of the people who's answered these questions. Now, this is what I like about answers, is that all of the answers, there's 10 answers there. On the left-hand side, you'll see each of the person that has answered this particular question, and it shows you what degree of connection they are to you.
Yep.
So the first person is a second degree connection. Now, I will be able to view this person's profile, because I can see that they're a second degree connection. There's a couple of third degrees there, and there's a couple that aren't even in my group at all. Now, if I was to go, let's say, for instance, I saw somebody answer a question, and I wanted to go and connect with them, but they weren't in my community at all. I could just go and say, "Hey, I saw you answer this particular question. I'd love to connect with you." It's giving me an opening to go and connect with someone that I wouldn't ordinarily have connected with before.
Oh, wow. This section is very powerful. I can already tell.
Okay. Totally, totally. So the great thing about it, we spoke about RSS feeds earlier. You can get an RSS feed to these questions as well, so that they come into your email, and you can just look at them through your email rather than going into here every day or keeping a check on it.
And how do you choose which questions you want to come through to your email?
You'll go through, there's a section where you can, there's some links there, and there's also a section of RSS, and I'm just trying to find where that RSS section is now. I'll have to put in the show notes. It's a little bit more complex.
I'd imagine it would have to do with either a question that you've asked or a question that you've answered, right? Probably something you have to engage with first in order to get the RSS, but I could be wrong.
I believe so, but I'll find that out and we'll put in the show notes.
Yeah, perfect. So using this section, I'm thinking, and correct me if I'm wrong here, but a good use of this section would be to go into Answers, go into the Advanced Answers search, type in keywords, meaning keywords that you're good at, areas of your expertise, and then find out what's being asked in that area and then answer the questions from within those. Is that a good way to use your time in this section?
Yeah, that's a great way. The other great thing about Answers, actually, mm-hmm. is you can use it to do market research. So you may pose a question you already know the answer to.
Sure.
But you pose a question and you might say, what do you think is the best way, what's the best strategy for ABC? And you come back and you can see exactly what you think, what other people are thinking, and whether you know, that question, the answers to that question are what you believe is going to happen, or it just does. Maybe there's some new stuff being revealed in these answers that you hadn't thought of before.
Okay, got it. Wow, Andrew, this is amazing, and I know we're coming to a close here. So, is there anything else about Answers that you wanted to tell everybody before we wrap up?
No, I get started. Just jump in to have a look at some questions.
Yeah.
There'll be questions that are not relevant. You'll see some answers, and you'll think, "Oh my God, are you serious? Do they really answer like that?" You know, just remember, people have different opinions.
Yeah.
They have different models of the world, and that's what you're going to find in some of these answers. But just get in there and find some questions that are relevant that you're safe to answer.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes they're simple answers. Other times they take a little bit longer. I know people who have answered them via video, so they'll do a video and they'll say, "Hey, I've just created a video for the answer to this," and they'll post it on their YouTube channel. So they're driving people to the YouTube channel as well.
Oh, that is smart. So you can even drive them to an article that you wrote as well on your site or your blog.
Yeah, you can do that. You can put it on your Facebook timeline. You can do it anywhere. You can do that anywhere. So it's pretty cool how you can do that.
Well, let's do a quick recap of what we've discussed today, because this has been an incredible, incredible episode with so much information, and we don't want you guys to get overwhelmed. As I've been copiously taking notes here, I've come up with some things that I think that everybody here who's listened should go and do once they listen to this episode. The first one is make sure that your profile is 100% complete, and
yes.
LinkedIn has a little sort of what we call wizard, which prompts you to make sure that it is, in fact, complete. So just make sure it says it's 100% complete. You want to answer everything in there, put your photo in there, and do what you can to make that complete. The second thing is to use your keywords. So use your keywords in your little summary up top. Use them in your jobs that you currently have, because as we know now, you can't change your past ones. So use your current jobs, put keywords in there as well. Make sure that your websites, where it says, you know, your website or blog or whatever, you can actually put a little call to action in there saying, "Get my free ebook," and then put your website next to that.
Yep.
The next thing is to pick a couple of groups that you want to join. Don't start a group yet, but pick a couple of groups in your industry that you want to join, where you can start to actually network and share your expertise and engage with people, and also even see how good groups work in case you want to open yours in the future. The next one is to do some recommendations. So jump on there, look for people in your network that you've worked closely with, and give them a nice recommendation with the hopes that perhaps in return they will do the same for you. And then the next thing I got was also, and most importantly, answers. So spend some time going into the answers area, the advanced search or the advanced answers, where you can actually search for keywords and engage with people, but also not only that, but to do market research as well for things that you want to find out. Did I cover it all? Is there anything else that you think people could really take and use from this?
We didn't even talk about company pages, advertising on LinkedIn, jobs, and that sort of stuff. So we could probably run this again.
Yeah.
We could run this down the track, the advanced version of LinkedIn. So let's give people a few weeks to have a play with it. And if they've got any questions, What's the best way to ask questions, eh?
Actually, that's a great point. We'd love to hear your feedback, guys. The best place to do this is to go to autopilotyourbusiness.com/podcast, and you can basically on there just find episode. What are we on again? Number eight. Yeah. So look for episode number eight. Look for the LinkedIn episode. That's our whole blog post and our show notes are going to be listed there. Andrew was saying we'll have show notes, so that's where you find them. But also right at the bottom of that page, you'll see a comment area. So if you guys could just jump in there and leave any comments, any feedback about the episode as well, but any questions that you come across as you're actually implementing this in your LinkedIn profile, we'd love to hear, because we'll take whatever you leave there and we'll actually make our next LinkedIn episode number two about what you leave in that area on our page. So again, autopilotyourbusiness.com/podcast, and then look for an episode number eight that'll be in there.
Yes. I'm actually also, just to let people know, I'm actually creating a product on LinkedIn too, Heather. So
yes.
That'll be coming out relatively soon, but creating a product on all of this sort of stuff. So watch me over the shoulder as we go through all of this. I'll go through the entire groups, the jobs, the setting up the profile, how to really soup it up.
Yeah, if you guys are interested in that too, the best way to be told about that is if you go to our site where, with the podcast site I just told you about, there's a little box there on the top right where you can sign up for our updates, and we'll let you guys know. The reason why Andrew is doing this, by the way, is because, as you well imagine, online moves incredibly fast, especially social media. So instead of having all this information all over the place, being that Andrew's a fantastic expert, being that he's the social media bloke, we thought it'd be a really good idea for him to just constantly pump his knowledge into one space. So with videos and tutorials, so whenever there's changes on anything that happens, then he automatically updates this, and that's when he's talking about a product. That's what he's developing right now. So it's going to be really powerful, really amazing, and easily accessible as well. So if that's something you're interested in, just sign up for updates.
Yes, totally. That's I think LinkedIn in a nutshell. It's pretty quick. I'm speaking about LinkedIn at an event coming up in a few days, and also in June as well in Brisbane, in Gold Coast. Jupiters.
Yeah. Wonderful.
I'm looking forward to doing that as well.
All right. Well, guys, come find us on LinkedIn. Connect with
Definitely.
Us. And thank you, Andrew. This has been an incredible, incredible episode. I really feel like this is debunked all this sort of craziness about LinkedIn. And you've made it really super easy to follow and know what to do once you get in there and navigate around.
Good. I'm looking forward to people's feedback. If they've got any questions, as we said, just post them there so we can answer them. What are we talking about next week? What's our next podcast?
Ooh, well, since we're on the topic of social media still, we still have Twitter and we still have Pinterest, I believe. Oh, and Google+ as well.
And YouTube, yeah.
And YouTube, my goodness. We still have all those. So what do you think? Do you feel like there's one of those that's standing out to you?
Maybe we should let the listeners vote.
Yeah, maybe.
What do you think?
Maybe we should. I know we've already gotten some votes on our Facebook about doing Pinterest. I know we have a big interest in that. So, so if that's the case, actually, if you guys want to let us know what you're interested in, you can always find us on Facebook as well. Just type in Autopilot Your Business, and we have a nice little page there, and let us know if there's something you want us to talk about. Or you can also go to our site as well, autopilotyourbusiness.com/podcast, and leave us a quick little note at the bottom of this episode and let us know.
Yay. Okay, well, let's find out what it is. It'll be a surprise for us.
Yes,
right?
Surprise.
We'll just look at the votes and then we'll start the mics up and we'll start talking.
Sounds good. It sounds perfect.
All right, Rachel, that was great. Thank you for a great podcast.
Thank you so much. Thanks, guys, once again for joining us. We really appreciate you guys being along the ride for us. I can't even talk anymore. You see, I'm so excited about LinkedIn. I was meaning to say thanks for joining us.
Thank you for joining us. Until next time,
okay.
We'll see you there.
Okay,
bye-bye.
Ladies and gentlemen, this is the first officer speaking.
On behalf of your captains, Andrew McCauley and Heather Porter, we would like to thank you for taking the journey with us to autopilot your business. You are now closer to putting your own business on autopilot using the internet. Of course, if you would like to rack up some frequent flyer points, visit our website, www.autopilotyourbusiness.com, or check us out on Facebook at facebook.com/autopilotyourbusiness. These frequent flyer points are totally useless, but the information is gold. Until we fly again, happy travels.